SBS Radio.
One in three of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's HAPPY program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under six or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
And now it's that time of the week to catch up with the Wiradjuri journalist Ray Johnston for some developments in the science and technology realm. How are you going, Ray?
Really well. How are you?
I'm good. Just reeling from the earthquake in Melbourne, where I'm calling from. A bit of a scare, but we're getting to terms with what happened.
Well, fingers crossed that everyone's okay. And I'm sorry that Melbourne's had to go through yet another terrible thing this year.
Well, so many things happening to us in Melbourne, with Melbourne being the epicenter of protests and tremor, even COVID lockdowns. Which brings us to our first topic of the week, recovery from COVID in Indigenous communities. It is said that for this recovery to be effective, it has to be Indigenous-led.
Yes, that's a self-determination approach is what's vital for the recovery of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. And this conclusion is according to a collaborative working party that's been working on this. It's a group of Aboriginal academics and wellbeing and health experts, community health organisations and elders as well. And they've put together a framework for recovery from the mental health, social and economic impacts of the virus. And this group is saying that an Indigenous-led approach is the most important thing, with funding needed to develop the necessary workforce and the infrastructure to be able to provide health and other services to the communities that need it. And this is called the Transforming Indigenous Mental Health and Wellbeing Project. And they were based out of the University of Western Australia, if anyone is interested in learning more.
And a new report from the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare, AIHW, has found that dementia is the second leading cause of death in Australia.
Yes, and there's so much information in this report. Yeah, this is a new report from the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare, and it gives us the latest statistics on the population health impacts, carers and care needs, health and aged care service use, and also how much we're spending in relation to dementia. And dementia is a term for a large number of conditions that gradually impair the brain function. And it poses really significant health and aged care and societal challenges. And with our rapidly aging population, it is predicted to become an even bigger challenge in the future. Now, dementia was responsible for over 14,000 deaths in 2019, and this accounts for 9.5% of all deaths that year. And it was the second leading cause of death behind coronary heart disease. And it was the leading cause of death among women, actually, with around 9,200 deaths in 2019. A big proportion of those people who passed were women. Now, estimates of the number of people living with dementia in 2021 right now, they range from around 386,000 to 472,000. And this is a big number that is expected to more than double by 2058, which seems like a long way away, but it's not as far as we think. And we do know that aging increases your risk of developing dementia, but dementia isn't an inevitable part of aging. It's not something that just has to happen. And also, there's 1 in 12 people that are age 65 and over living with dementia. This does increase to 2 in 5 age 90 and over. Nearly two-thirds of people living with dementia are women. And although dementia is considered to be an older person's disease, it's also estimated that there's over 27,000 Australians under the age of 65 that are living with younger onset dementia. Now, I said this report was big and there's a lot of numbers out of it, and I wasn't joking. One of the most important statistics to come out of it, though, is the rate of dementia among Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, which is estimated to be 3 to 5 times as high as the rate for the rest of the population. And in 2019, dementia was the 5th leading cause of death among Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people aged 65 and over. And with an ageing population, it's expected that the impact among Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people will continue to rise in the future. This is important to know because there is no known cure for dementia. There are medications that can help manage the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, which falls under that umbrella of dementia. But most people in the advanced stages, they rely on care and support provided by residential aged care services. And over half the people living in permanent residential aged care have dementia. And in 2019 to 2020, a third of younger people, that's the ones aged under 65, living in those permanent residential aged care centres had younger onset dementia. So having better data about the experiences of people living with dementia and the people that care for them is really essential. And this information can be used to improve policies and support services for those people who need them the most. So this report's very important and it's very widespread, the amount of information that they've been able to get out of it.
Wow, that's amazing. And the figures are really staggering.
Absolutely, much higher than I think any of us really realised what a huge impact dementia has on us. And you know, to be the second leading cause of death among all of the Australian population is just astounding. Yes. I had no idea.
And now a new development with the Curtin University researchers. It said they have identified a new, cheaper and more efficient electrocatalyst to make green hydrogen from water.
Yeah, this is a good one. This is an exciting one. Now, to understand what this research is about exactly, you know, typically scientists have been using precious metal catalysts, things like platinum, to speed up the reaction to break water into hydrogen and oxygen. You know, water is made of hydrogen and oxygen. When you want to get hydrogen out of that water, you need to break it up. But now Curtin research has found that adding nickel and cobalt to cheaper, previously ineffective catalysts, you know, metals that just didn't work like those expensive precious metal ones, they've worked out that adding nickel and cobalt will enhance their performance. It lowers the energy required to split the water, and you also get more hydrogen out of it. And we're talking about materials that are much cheaper, they're found in more places, and they're also more efficient. So we're looking at this being something that opens up new future research in the energy sector, and it could really put our continent at the forefront of renewable and clean energy research and ways to apply that research as well. Because the next steps in this is to expand and test the team's work on a larger scale to see if it could be something that could hit the market and be commercially viable and used by industry. And I think that this is important because only 21% of energy is produced by renewables in our national energy market, which clearly indicates that more efforts are required from the Australian government and from Australia as a whole to make a transition from fossil fuels to clean energy, which is necessary for the future. But this kind of shift is only really possible when the knowledge from the research sector gets translated into those real-world solutions and applications and products that we can get out there. And this is absolutely one of them.
And finally, talking about the coral reefs, now a new discovery has found that reforestation could actually save coral reefs from catastrophe.
So increasing reforestation efforts, you know, replacing areas of forest that have been cut down or destroyed in coastal regions, it could really significantly reduce the amount of sediment runoff reaching coral reefs and also help improve their resilience This is information that's come from a study out of the University of Queensland, and it looked at more than 5,500 different coastal areas from all around the world. And it found that nearly 85% of them leached sediment to coral reefs, the second most serious threat facing the world's reefs behind climate change. It's that sediment. And increased sedimentation, it can make those aquatic ecosystems more sensitive to heat stress, which makes the corals less resilient to pressures caused by climate change. And if the link between the land and the sea isn't recognized and managed properly, if it's not managed separately, any future efforts to conserve those marine habitats and species, they're not really going to be very effective, because you've got all of this excess sediment runoff from land clearing and agrochemical pollution as well, all the chemicals used in farming along those coastlines, increasing the sediment to those coastal waters. And one of the impacts on that is a massive reduction in light levels that the coral needs and the seagrass needs for growth and reproduction. So reforestation, it's really hugely important because it maintains the stability of the soils that are needed to stop that erosion from happening in the first place. It traps the sediments and stops them from reaching the water. So building coral resilience through reducing sediment and pollution, it's also key to improving a coral reef's potential for recovery after bleaching events, which are happening far more frequently, unfortunately, at the moment. So if land management isn't something that we're looking at to reduce that sediment runoff as a global priority, it's going to become really challenging, if not impossible, to protect marine ecosystems in the face of climate change. And if an average of 1,000 hectares of forest was restored per coastal basin, land-based sediments reaching those coral reefs could be cut by an average of 8.5% among 63,000 square kilometres of reefs, which is not an insignificant amount at all. And I think that this is something that we really need to be looking at. But it's going to be a tricky one, I think, because we're looking at areas that people live on and people have built homes and, built shops and coastal areas. We need to look at how we're going to stop all of that sediment runoff while still maintaining us living on that land as well, which is a huge challenge.
Yeah, it looks like reforestation can have many benefits. I can see others, not just the coral reefs. I can see the benefit in fighting greenhouse emissions and fighting soil erosion and many, many more. At the same time, I can see some caveats in this new discovery. How do you remove people from this prime waterfront real estate?
That's it. It's going to be a difficult one, though. There's a lot of people with a lot of interest in making sure those coastal areas are developed. They make a lot of money out of them.
Yeah, hotels,
so protecting it. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So protecting it and reforesting. if we could get some of the big hotel chains to just donate some of their waterfront land to building forests, that would be lovely. That would be an ideal world.
Thanks a lot, Ray, for bringing to us so many exciting and informative STEM topics again.
Thank you.
1 in 3 of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's HAPPY program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under 6 or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids HAPPY ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.